The Democrats' crowning problem lay in a deepening mismatch with the cultural and religious viewpoints of their erstwhile bastion, the White South. When Democratic administrations were in office, Washington authorities were as much at odds with the Southern white majority as the carpetbaggers of old, which helps to explain the resentments unleashed. The centennial of the first Reconstruction, unpopular below the Mason-Dixon line, helped turn memory into working analogy. How many white Southerners, with their famous backward glance, perceived the essential role reversal? That over the years, the Northern-run Democratic Party, albeit only informally, was the one using Southern-born presidents to implement a second Reconstruction and to build biracial coalitions along the lines pursued 100 years earlier by GOP firebrands such as House Speaker Thaddeus Stevens and Senate President Pro Tem Benjamin Wade. 100 years of lost cause worship had turned this regional sensitivity into a political nerve ending. In retrospect, the Democratic Party by the mid-1960s could elect no one but Southerners to the presidency, a tricky requirement that the nominees sensed. Even Johnson, the Texan who generally emphasized his home state's Western roots, deepened his drawl when he visited the South. However, all four were obliged to implement Northern liberal cultural agendas. By the 1990s, neo-Confederates were nicknaming them scalawags. The contemporary parallels cannot be ignored. In The Vital South, the Black Brothers pointed out that the Reagan campaign of 1980 also criticized Carter as a betrayer of Southern values. Wallace had made some of that case against Johnson, and Southern Republicans belabored Clinton with it. The president from Arkansas later chuckled about Southerners calling him a scalawag in the 19th century sense. "They see me as an apostate." Conservative Democrats who had switched parties wielded this rhetorical saber with particular enthusiasm. In Mississippi, former Governor John Bell Williams told a 1980 crowd that Jimmy Carter took us down the boulevard of broken promises. Ridiculing Democrats who urged support for Carter because he's a Southerner born and raised in the South, Williams asked, "Do you see any indication of it in the last 4 years?" The assembled Mississippians roared, "No." Both Nixon and Reagan sharpened their appeals to the South with tangible policies as well as federal nominations. However, much of what they offered was symbolic. Nixon's rhetoric on busing and law and order, Reagan's 1980 embrace of states' rights in a visit to blood-stained Neshoba County, Mississippi, where three civil rights workers had been killed in 1964, his appearances with Jerry Falwell, and his jokes about welfare queens. Republicans knew now they had to sidestep the Goldwater trap of actual opposition to black civil rights. In fact, most of the great GOP advances below the Mason-Dixon line came from angry white responses to Southern and border state Democratic presidencies. As noted, Eisenhower's Southern breakthroughs in 1952 followed the Dixiecrat revolt of 1948 and the ensuing shifts of many Dixiecrat supporters in Low Country, South Carolina, the Mississippi Delta, and Bayou and northern Louisiana, to GOP presidential voting. Reactions against Lyndon Johnson's policies fueled the next big cluster of GOP Southern breakthroughs. Goldwater's sweep of the Deep South in 1964, the sizable congressional gains in 1966, including the South, the Democrats' 1968 loss of 10 of the 11 ex-Confederate states to Nixon and Wallace, and the Republican presidential crest of 1972, when the 1968 Wallace vote went to Nixon. Dissatisfaction with Carter fueled the next sequence. GOP midterm gains in 1978, including the Texas governorship, followed by the Reagan sweep in 1980, with its attendant major Southern congressional gains and capture of the Senate. Following these, the next big inroads, the fourth such sequence in the South, began in 1994, when a so-called midterm negative landslide against Clinton swung both the House and the Senate to the Republicans. The new leaders of the Senate were Majority Leader Trent Lott of Mississippi and Senate President Pro Tem Strom Thurmond of South Carolina, the Dixiecrat presidential nominee of 1948. The strong Dixie follow-up in the presidential election of 2000 and the 2002 congressional races also seems, as we will see, to hark back to the Southern-led 1998 impeachment of Clinton, with its accompanying revelations of immorality and Bible Belt outrage. Can these incremental Southern shifts be said to flow from the second Reconstruction? In considerable measure, but especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they can. By the 1990s, first under George H.W. Bush, then under Bill Clinton, and finally under George W. Bush, the mainsprings of U.S. politics were shifting from economics, race, and cultural symbolism to a new set of divisions rooted in beliefs and theology that transcended the simplistic values label left over from prior culture wars. Talk about the Republicans becoming a religious party akin to the Italian or German Christian Democrats began in 1988, grew in 1992 and thereafter, and caught hold in the George W. Bush years.